Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Ernst.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Hello, this is Mike King with Merryman Herbs. It's a Better Life show. Today we have with us Danny Curtin, who's the Vice President of Arthur Andrew Medical. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks great. For having me.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you back. We got to finish up on these systemic enzymes. And I wanted
we could talk for weeks.
Yeah, I know. They do so many different things, and they're so effective. And we've got to talk a little bit about the quality, and we're going to talk a little bit about the history, and then we're going to get into maybe some of the main things that this product will do for our wonderful customers. So the listeners out there, let's start with back in 1906, Dr. John Baird, I think he was a Scotsman, and he was taking the sheep pancreas and concentrating it and actually was curing people that had pancreatic cancer. And there was a documented tumor regression and remission in cancer patients. So it kind of all started that these systemic enzymes kind of all started with the enzymes from the sheep pancreas, and they were used initially in very high doses, very fresh, with preventing and reducing cancers. Now, I guess what happened was as they tried to replicate what he was doing, they weren't using the fresh enzymes and they were using other, other formulations. And so basically, 1923, after he died, the enzyme therapy was majorly forgotten. And I guess it wasn't until a little bit later or from time to time, his work with the pancreatic enzymes was kind of looked at or rediscovered for an alternative cancer treatment. And then in, I think it was about in the early 80s, we had Dr. William Donald Kelly, or Dr. Kelly, started in, and he kind of got himself, and then there was another researcher, Dr. Good, and they kind of, got themselves, I guess it was Dr. Kelly that kind of got himself into trouble with the FDA and so forth. He was claiming cures for cancer and so forth.
Right.
Yeah, and you got to be...
Can't do that. Can't cure. Curing is bad.
Yeah, so under, I guess, what they call result of endless pressures, he had to give up his research and patient care, and I guess he passed away in January of 2005. So you can, if any of you listeners want to look into the history of this, it originally started out as a cure for cancer, and I think that's very interesting because there's still applications today to do this as an adjunct or an additive if you're doing cancer therapy because of its, fibrocystic, the fibrosis, the eating away of different tissues, particularly tumor or regular tissues and so forth. So I think there's still a lot of interest in it, but, we definitely would never claim that it would be a cure for cancer, but it would, maybe one of these days it may be very beneficial for certain types of cancer. I know pancreatic cancer is absolutely devastating. Usually they give you a year or so. They're coming out with the new immune-enhancing drugs, but there's a lot of side effects. I'm reading about these, and they don't always work, and it's still an imperfect world out there. But I know with these systemic enzymes that you can do a lot with them, and you don't really have to worry about the side effects. There's just basically side benefits. We talked a little bit.
And I just want to mention one thing. It really puts it into perspective with pancreatic cancer being pretty much the most deadly cancer. That shows you how important enzymes are and how, pancreas is one of the main functions
yes.
to produce enzymes, and without them, you just don't have life. So the more
exactly.
enzymes you have, you turn life back on. So
exactly. Great point. So the thing is, we're getting into an area where, we have this product, and I always try to tell people, they're like, well, maybe it didn't work as well as they thought. Part of it is you've got to take enough of the product, and you've got to take it regularly. And there's different regimens out there on this particular product and your product. Now, we were talking off air, and we don't have to name the company, but tell us a little bit about, the quality of your product compared to the other leading brand, which we also sell. But I have found, and this is why, we're doing the radio show with you, I've found your product to be much superior to any other brand that I can find. And there's a lot of difference in the quality out there. And explain a little bit about what your company does and what the other companies do and the testing with the acid and so forth. Explain that, Danny.
Okay. Well, I'll try to make it quick. one thing that with systemic enzymes, you want them to get through the stomach. The
right.
stomach is a very harsh environment for enzymes. It's very acidic. If enzymes sit in the stomach in an acidic environment, they will lose activity and the product won't be as effective.
Well, and that was one of Dr. Wheel's big complaints about systemic enzymes, because I kind of looked up where he was at, what page he was on with this, and he was saying, well, you know, there's no sense in taking them because, you know, they're not going to get to where they need to go because they get destroyed so easily by the digestive system.
Right, which is sort of true. If you eat a meal and then you just took enzymes without any protection,
right.
then they would sit in there and they would lose activity. But you can protect them. And
uh-huh.
you can provide an extremely potent product like we do, and you can also protect the product. So unfortunately, what some companies do is they use the protective mechanism. A lot of times it's called an enteric coating or
right.
some type of acid protection capsule, but they'll use that as more of a marketing ploy, and they won't supply you with enough activity to really do anything. They're really banking on the fact that, hey, we're going to provide you with a product, and there is a company that does this that provides an extremely weak product because a long time ago they tested their product in acid.
Mm-hmm.
They saw without any protection that it lost, you know, about 90% of its activity. And so they decided, hey, well, if our product works now, this wouldn't really happen in the body, but.
Well, didn't they let it sit in acid for what, 2 hours or something?
Hours.
So usually your stomach's an hour at the most.
They took the powder of their capsule and put it in acid for 2 hours. That would never happen. When you take a capsule, the capsule protects the product for at least, you know, 20, 30 minutes, depending on the type of capsule you have. And we advise you to take systemic enzymes on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, based on your digestion and your age, that capsule will move into the small intestine, where it's a lot more alkaline, and that's where the enzymes are absorbed. That's going to take about 20 to 40 minutes. So they would never sit in acid for 2 hours. That being said, the said company that I was just talking about
right.
put their product in acid for 2 hours. They lost 90%. They decided, hey, if our product works now, we're only providing 10% of what we say we are. So let's make a new product that guarantees that will deliver 100% of the activity that we're giving you.
And say it's 100% better.
But yeah. let's only put in 90%,
wow.
or excuse me, 10% of what we have now, because we'll save
yes.
so much money on the cost of our active ingredient.
Wow.
And if we're supplying 100% of just that little bit that we were supplying
mm-hmm.
before, we'll have the same effect. When in fact,
oh my gosh.
That's not what happens, because that, you know,
right.
these enzymes don't sit in acid for 2 hours. So
right.
there is a company out there that's providing an extremely weak product, and they use a gel tab, and it's just a joke. So we've actually received a lot of business from that, because
mm-hmm.
their product wasn't working anymore.
Well, your product is phenomenal. And, you know, again, you can I see this a lot in the pharmaceutical industry, where they'll have, let's say, for example, a chemotherapeutic drug that is only 2% effective, and all of a sudden it becomes 4% effective, and they'll tell you, well, you know, there's been 100% increase
yeah.
in effectiveness, or 100% effective, when it's still only at 4%. So it's a relative kind of thing, and
it's relative.
Yeah,
well,
and
two times better.
Yeah,
than it used to be.
Right,
so
or
really,
it's 100% more, 100%
really.
More effective, or 200% more effective. You know, and it's all relative, and it's really sad when, and being a researcher like I am, when I drill down and get into all of this, and I see this, I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know, it's almost like what we call nowadays fake news or propaganda.
Right.
And it's not really the whole picture or the whole truth. And that's what, you know, we do at Merry Man. We really take a look at these things. We, you know, we're not 100% perfect, but we try very hard to make sure that our customers are getting what they're supposed to be getting, and not just a bunch of hype. When I see a company saying, you know, that they have a product that's a cure-all for everything, and not careful about their statements. Although when you get into the curcumin, it's kind of hard not to say that. But there are some things out there that are phenomenal. But again, I mean, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to take a pill and it's not going to wash your windows for you. You can't just, you know, claim everything. But anyway, right. Well, that's very important. So, you know, not only do you start with a really high quality, and I know enzymes, the systemic enzymes, some of them are extremely expensive. Is it the chymotrypsin and the serrapeptidase that are the two most expensive? What are the most expensive of the enzymes?
The most expensive are the, yes, chymotrypsin
right.
is expensive. We don't, chymotrypsin, if you don't know, comes from a pig's pancreas.
Right.
Just a, they extract it out of a living, or excuse me, not a living pancreas, but
fresh.
An animal's pancreas.
Yeah, right.
We don't use animal-derived enzymes because we cannot make them, there are a couple different reasons. We can't make them any stronger than they naturally are.
Okay.
So if you wanted chymotrypsin or trypsin or pancreatin from an animal to be stronger for the patient or for the person taking the product, you just have to take more.
Right.
Can't do anything to the product.
Okay.
We use vegetarian-based and microbial-sourced.
Right.
So
we
essentially, we're
talked
using
about
probiotics
that. Mm-hmm.
that produce enzymes. And so we are creating this fermentation process where good bacteria produce enzymes. And when you change the, you don't do any type of genetic modification or anything. These still are completely natural. There's
right.
nothing weird about them. But by controlling the temperature and the barometric pressure and the type of lighting and so many different elements that go into growing these enzymes, you can actually yield activity that's 100 or 1,000 times stronger than they would be naturally. So
wow.
that's why things like serrapeptase and natokinase become so expensive, because it takes a long time to generate these enzymes.
Sure it does.
So much activity.
Sure it does. In fact, I went to a lecture on the manufacturing of serrapeptidase, and it was done in India, and basically they had all of these tubes and glassware and all. It almost was like a digestive system, and it initiated out of the a mushroom extract. And they did this like digestive process and finally got it down to the purified serrapeptidase, because the serrapeptidase that the silkworm uses is actually toxic to humans. So they had to use like an analog or a little bit of a different
right.
formulation to still get the enzymatic effect without
the
toxicity.
Say, exactly. Well, just so you know,
yeah.
people think this is the silkworm enzyme or you know, how many silkworms were killed to get this enzyme. And
yeah.
really, you know, silk is one of the strongest proteins on the planet.
Yes, it is.
And that's why a silkworm uses serrapeptase to break down the silk cocoon once they become a moth or a butterfly or whatever it is
right.
we're talking about. So the bacteria that produces that enzyme is not the silkworm, and it's not part of the silkworm. It's on the silkworm, and it lives in the digestive system of the silkworm. So
mm-hmm.
This is still a bacteria. It's still considered a vegan-based enzyme.
See, that's wonderful, because my customers, a lot of them are vegan or at least vegetarian, and they don't like the idea of, and I'm not a really big proponent of using glandulars or animal.
Right, same here.
Yeah, well, because we know the history of it. I mean, with the tamoxifen and, you know, the horsemare urine, you know, increasing the incidence of cancer. When you start using these animal hormones or anything like that, you know, you're getting into a really gray area. And I don't like to go there with my customers. I like to sell things
sure.
that I know are not going to have any negative side effects.
Well, that's another reason we don't use animal-derived enzymes.
Awesome.
Because not only for what you mentioned, but there is not a governing body on the health of that animal. So you could
right.
have a pig that's not healthy enough for slaughter and they don't want to sell the meat, but you can definitely go in there and extract
oh, wow.
its pancreatic enzymes and
Ooh.
Put them in a supplement, and no one knows.
Well, that's why we do business with you, and we know it's safe and it's vegan. It's going to be good. It's going to be potent, and it's going to work. Now, let's quickly jump into all of the things. I don't know if we'll get done with it today, but we'll try to hit most of them. All of the things that these systemic enzymes, and I'm going to talk about what the research is showing that these enzymes can do. So we'll talk about those things. There's research out there on all of this we're going to talk about. First of all, it's known to remove and filter viruses from the blood. And we talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, this could be good for colds and flu. The fact that these enzymes actually, not only do they remove and filter, but they actually break down that protein coat. A virus is DNA with a protein coat, and that protein coat is what is kind of sticky, and it'll attach to the cell and get in and throw the DNA in, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got all these problems. You know, your cells all of a sudden become viral. So it removes and filters viruses from the blood. Now, exactly what is going on there, Danny, when they talk about that?
The beautiful thing about enzymes is that we call them immune privileged.
Yes.
And so when you're taking these enzymes, they are nonspecific in that anything that they can break down, that they come in contact with, they will. That being, you know, undigested food in the blood or scar tissue, excess scar tissue from an old surgery.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's blood supply and the enzymes can break down whatever that protein is, they will. However, with the immune privilege component, they really help your immune system, especially when it comes to the run-of-the-mill colds and flu, because they break down the protein component of these viruses and allow the immune system to actually go in and break down. You know, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. Their immune privilege and the reason they know where to go is because protein that they can break down has to have an immune reaction taking place on it or in it.
Okay.
So when you have viruses in you, there are antibodies trying to attach to those virus so that this whole immune process begins. And that's where the enzymes are attracted to. They actually go to where those antibodies are and they break down that protein component of the virus so that then we can turn these viruses and we can encapsulate them with an antibody, turn them into
circulating immune compound,
complex,
right?
And then that can be broken down and excreted.
Wow.
So it really bumps up your immune, just your overall immune health. I mean, knock on wood right now, I think this is probably Formica or something, but you can think whatever you want about vaccines or whatever. I've never had a flu shot. I don't have vaccines at all.
Sure.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I was sick. Really.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't taken a sick day probably in over 10 years.
You need to go to my Facebook page. And I've got a video from the MTHFR doctor, and he and another doctor, I put a video up, have a really interesting talk about the use of vaccinations in pediatrics. So, you know, I always get mothers coming in, you know, what type of vaccine am I supposed to, you know, what's the vaccine schedule and so forth. And Ben Lynch, who's the main lead doctor, the lead MTHFR doctor, has a wonderful video. It's out and it's free right now to watch it. And he's interviewing, I think, Dr. Thompson. But anyway, you can go to my Facebook or our website, or not the website, but the Facebook pages. And actually, Mike King, I posted on there, and I think it's on the Merry Man Herbs with an S Facebook. Definitely, if you want, give us a call and we can direct you to that. Or if you're a lot of people are already on our Facebook. So we posted that up there. Dr. Ben Lynch does an interview with one of the leading pediatric viral doctors. And it's really interesting, all the information on the vaccines and what to take and what not to take and the hype. And he's got some really good inside information. Getting back to the systemic enzymes. So we talked about the fact that, you know, if this is going to help remove and filter viruses from the blood, it's going to take away, and this has been, research has shown that it takes strain away from the liver by assisting in the body cleansing. And there's a circulatory component. We need to talk about that. So we know that it lowers blood pressure, it improves circulation, it helps to lower bad cholesterol, and it minimizes blood clotting, preventing stroke and heart disease. Now, is it a blood thinner?
Well, it's a blood cleanser.
Ah, okay.
So a lot of those things that you just mentioned,
yes,
it's all the same thing, and those are just what happens as a response. So to make this really, there's a couple things going on here. First off, there is a necessary protein in the body called fibrin.
Yes.
Fibrin is the key protein that makes up scar tissue. It's basically whenever
the end of
stress,
the clot, the end of the blood clot is fibrin.
Very true.
Right.
So when you cut yourself, you need fibrin. Fibrin is produced and released to go to that location, and it turns into thrombin is used. There's a couple other processes so that you can actually start a clot if you needed to.
Right.
Anytime you have the flu or any type of stress, you know, flu, you break your leg, you name it, anything where the immune system has to react, fibrin is produced. A lot of it is produced, and mm-hmm. it's not a perfect system. So there's always an excess amount circulating in the blood. And when you're a young person, you have a generous amount of plasmin, which is a systemic enzyme. Plasmin digests excess fibrin.
Right. So right.
Children, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds, you know, early 20-year-olds, they don't have a whole bunch of excess fibrin circulating because they've got plenty of plasmin getting rid of the excess.
Okay.
Now, fast forward a few years when you start really slowing down the enzyme production process. You know, now you're in your mid-30s, and this will continue to get worse and worse for the rest of your life. You produce less enzymes, and you eat less enzymes because you're eating. Most people are eating, you know, food that the enzymes have been killed because mm-hmm. any processed or cooked food, the enzymes are gone.
Exactly.
So now your body's in this prioritization state. What am I going to use enzymes for? I don't have enough enzymes to break down my food. I don't have enough enzymes to break down excess fibrin. I don't have enough enzymes for my immune system. So it says, what's the most important thing?
Food first.
Like, food first.
Right.
So it's going to start to use metabolic enzymes and enzymes from the immune system. It's going to use plasmin. It's going to use anything to break down your food. And those enzymes aren't specifically digestive enzymes, so they're not the greatest. They're better than nothing for breaking down your food, but you might start to have digestive issues as well because you don't have a full-on digestive enzymes breaking down your food. You have enzymes.
It can break down. I mean, that's the research shows that it can break down the fibrin.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Plasmin.
Yeah. So
here's what we do.
All right.
Now, fibrin is not a life or death component right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over time it can be, but your body says, hey, I'm not going to start breaking down this excess fibrin because I need to use enzymes for other things. And so fibrin, if you can picture it, builds up in the bloodstream. It's and I use the analogy of a cobweb.
Right.
So your bloodstream starts to, and a cobweb, you know, flies get stuck in there, all sorts of stuff gets stuck in there. Well, if it's in your bloodstream, things that you would normally process, like undigested food, which may have leaked into the bloodstream, gets stuck in there. Viruses and bacteria get stuck in there. Cholesterol gets stuck in there. Triglycerides get stuck in there. So when you go to the doctor and they say, hey, your cholesterol is really elevated, they'll give you something to sort of poison your liver so you stop producing cholesterol.
Right. Well, and cholesterol is so very much needed, and we can get really good into that. But
we can.
But, you know, again, cholesterol is one of these things that our body needs, but it is actually high cholesterol is an indication of inflammation. This product's going to bring down the inflammation and get and cleanse the blood, and then your liver's going to be like, well, I don't need to produce as much. I'm not getting, you know, the feedback that I need to produce as much cholesterol. So there's a loop there that people don't realize. You don't need to poison your liver with what we call the statin drugs.
No, your body can take care of that excess cholesterol. It's just stuck. It's in that cobweb. So let's get rid of the cobweb. Let's take Neprenol, break down all this excess fibrin that's in the blood, and it is excess. It's not going to get rid of fibrin that you need. A lot of people ask that. It will get rid of the cobwebs. And so now anything that's out of range will start to normalize. Your cholesterol will normalize. If it's already low, it's not going to get lower.
Okay, so now, not to interrupt here, but is this an alternative for the cholesterol meds? Is it something that, you know, somebody could try working with their doctors and say, okay, you know, I'm going to try this for 2 to 4 months and see if I can get my cholesterol down to where it's going to make you happy?
I mean, of course, I would never give medical advice. But
right.
If they tell their doctor and say, hey, I really want to try this, is it all right
with
you? Monitor my blood. Happens every day.
Wow.
I wouldn't tell someone, hey, stop taking your statin.
Yeah, you can't. You can't tell somebody stop taking prescription, but if it's okay with them and their doctor. And that's another thing with basically the cholesterol meds. I mean, it's not an immediate, like a blood pressure, you got to be real careful with that. But with the statins or the cholesterol, it's a kind of a long-term thing. So it's something you could play with as long as you're working with your doctor.
Correct.
Okay,
and
now,
so,
go ahead.
Real quick, and in terms of blood pressure, if another analogy, a big glass of water with a whole bunch of ice cubes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that ice cubes represents toxins and especially fibrin, okay? So if you take that glass of water and you take all the ice cubes out, all of a sudden the water goes, you know, halfway down the glass.
Right.
And there's a lot less pressure on that glass. And that's exactly what happens in your bloodstream. You get rid of all that excess fibrin, and now your blood volume goes down. And so naturally, your blood pressure would start to lower.
Okay.
Because you have less stuff in your circulatory system.
We've got just about a minute left. I want to go over a few more things. Of course, it's going to slow aging. I think, you know, we talked about how the Hollywood stars, this is one of the secrets that they use to stay young because it does help your body overall, gives your body the extra enzymes. Treats and prevents asthma attacks, decreases allergy and hay fever symptoms. What's going on there?
I'm sorry, repeat.
Okay, treats and prevents asthma attacks, decrease allergy, hay fever symptoms, and I'm going to throw in also helps to relieve headaches, migraines, and sinus pressure.
Well, the main thing with all of that, the allergy and the sinus and everything else, a lot of the inflammation associated with those things,
mm-hmm.
You know, is an immune response to something. And so we talked about how that works and how the enzymes will help just your normal immunity. But also serrapeptase specifically, which is one of the main components of Neprenol, is extremely effective. And it's one of the main prescriptions in many countries for hay fever or colds or any upper respiratory sinus type thing, because serrapeptase, all these enzymes do this, but specifically serrapeptase breaks down mucins, which is the main component of mucus.
I've seen that in action. Real quickly, if you have some sinus issues, you want to try it. And we sell the serrapeptase, although you could buy your product for sure because it's more holistic. But I have seen customers that they could not get rid of their sinus problems. And all of a sudden, you know, when it kicked in for the season, they took the serrapeptase and had no problems. Hey, we are absolutely running out of time here. We did talk about, again, how this reduces inflammation. So obviously it helps to relieve arthritis. And it's also good for athletics because it kind of increases flexibility and reduces that joint pain and inflammation.
And
all of this
blood flow.
Yes. And all of this is research shows that the enzymes do this. Danny, it's been wonderful. And
thanks,
we'll be talking again soon.
All right.